We are joined by the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. He has been head coach there since 2006, led the Saints to their first Super Bowl win in 2010. Saints are coming off a 13-3 season. They open up against Houston on September 9th, 7:10 p.m. Eastern. If you want to make a note of that, Sean Payton is my guest. Sean, it's been a minute or two, but it's great to have you back. How are you?
Good, Jim. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
Good. Good, Sean. Great to visit with you. We've got a few things to get caught up on. Let me start, believe it or not, Sean, with some golf, because I had PGA Tour pro Ryan Palmer on this show earlier this month, coming off his win at the Zurich Open, and he gave you a lot of love for supporting him and letting him spend time at the practice facility. So how pleased were you to see Palmer and John Rahm get that win?
No, it was outstanding. I'd met Ryan 8 years ago over in Texas, and over the years, you know, he's always played over here at the Zurich. Of course, the format changed 2 years ago. He and Jordan were partners a couple of years in a row, and then this year with he and John. So he's been in. It's always the same week of the draft, the Zurich. So he's kind of seen the draft firsthand, the facilities. He comes in here, gets treatment, and the 1 year he wins it on Sunday. I'm out at a graduation out, in fact, near you in L.A. at Pepperdine for my daughter's graduation. So I was thrilled for him. You know, when you're a player like that and you're 42, you win a tournament and all of a sudden you just get a new battery charge and you play in more events. That was great to see.
Sean Payton joining us. I want to get back to that notion of a battery charge in a minute, but I'm glad that you brought up your daughter, Megan. She graduated recently from Pepperdine, so if we're talking about you being pleased and you having pride in something, what was it like for you to see your daughter graduate?
No, it was outstanding. The thing that I'll say with coaches you've been with, peers that you work in the industry with, you see each other on a daily basis. You don't see age. But when you see each other's children, I think that's what resonates, and man, the 4 years she was there flew by, and all of a sudden, you know, you're out there, it's graduation, and of course at Pepperdine, it's pretty easy on the eye because it's on the lawn, you're looking at the Pacific Ocean, and meanwhile, I'm looking at the leaderboard, and those guys finished phenomenally, but it was a proud moment, and one that, you know, you think just goes too quick.
What a great weekend, and it is such a beautiful spot, Pepperdine. And you're right, Sean, like when you put your head down and you grind and you put in the time that you put in, time goes by so fast. You look up and like there's 4 years, there's 5 years, there's 10 years. And then you get back to this notion of charging your batteries. Like if you get a win at 42, it's a way to charge your battery. But if you're you and you do what you do, how do you get a recharge? How do you charge your battery and get that juice?
Well, the one thing about our game, a little bit different, I think, than the college game of football, you know, there's a recruiting pressure that exists pretty much year-round for those guys. And, you know, even in the summer months, if a junior at high school wants to go by the campus, you're on call. So when we finish our OTAs and then mini camp here in the middle of June, there's a chunk of time before training camp where you can, you know, get away, visit some family, take a vacation. But I would also say the players, and I feel like we have a young team, to some degree, there's a contagious energy that doesn't always permeate coach to player, but sometimes player to coach, and I think that's the case with our team. Last year was one of the more enjoyable years I've had coaching, and I felt like this team a year ago, and many of the players returning this year, you know, enjoy playing, and from a coaching standpoint, it's just, you know, you look forward to going to work, you look forward to teaching, and you look forward to each week's challenge.
We're talking to Sean Payton, and Sean, nobody enjoys it more than your quarterback, of course, Drew Brees. From the outside, it seems like he's playing as well as he ever has. It seems like this guy can just keep playing forever. You know him as well as anybody. What makes him so special, and how much has he improved as a player in the time that you've been with him?
Well, there's been a ton of things. To answer your first question, the one thing, you start with his athleticism and his ability. You know that he's got so many rare traits relative to his accuracy, how he processes information from snap to throw. And then, you know, the elite player today, not only are they working out, training, but the sleep, the diet, all these other elements that, you know, 20 years ago maybe weren't that important. I use that analogy that, you know, there's pictures that you can find of Len Dawson having a cigarette at halftime.
Amazing.
I mean, and so in a very short period of time, when you get a player like Drew and you see him playing now, exceptionally well at his age, there's a year-round commitment that goes with that, and there's quite a bit of time on task taking care of his body, and he's extremely regimented as to how he approaches his off season. So, look, he's back this week. Our OTAs began on Tuesday, and man, he's had a good week here. Looks sharp. We got some new faces. Obviously, you know, he's working on the timing with some of our new players, and that's the case every year.
Sean Payton, Saints head coach, is joining us once again. Sean, do you and Drew ever talk about his future and how long he intends to play?
I can honestly say this, never have we sat down and I think, you know, we both look at it like, hey, it's not even on the horizon, and it doesn't feel like it's been 13 years. It feels like it's been 7 or 8 years. And so back to your children, you know, when he and Brittany arrived, it was the two of them. Man, there's four children now, four Breeze kids running around, you know, three boys and a daughter. So, again, that's where you look and you're like, man, holy cow, I remember when Baylen was this age or Bowen was this age. But when you see someone on a regular basis, you know, you're a little bit more short-sighted relative to how long we've been together. And we haven't had that discussion. He's performing at such a good level and such a high level. I think he, too, to some degree, gets energized with the influx of talent, the changes each year that take place. And there's challenges with that. But yeah, I think that's something. I mean, if you started calculating all the tight ends he's worked with and running backs and receivers, you'd be over 100 different players throughout his career.
Huh. It's amazing. But it seems to me when you look at that, Sean, part of that is it's what you've created, the environment, the culture. And I bring this up because you did a Q&A with The Athletic recently, and one of the questions was what you want your players to say about you, and your answer was in part, quote, I want them to feel the culture and the locker room environment that we created here, that it was the best they've been in if they've gone to more than one team. So how would you describe the culture that you want?
Well, I think it starts with the people. And so there's a certain amount of pressure once you've gotten to, you know, an 06 team, for instance, that, you know, that had a lot of grit, I would say a tough team. As you draft the 07 class, the 08 class, there's X amount of pressure on our part to bring in, you know, like-minded players, guys that approach it the same way. And I would say, you know, I do think, and I learned this early on, the draft and free agency, all those are elements to signing and acquiring talent, and yet you still got to play the best players. And so, you know, we've had free agents make a roster over a draft pick. I think the locker room's smart enough to see when someone's playing well or someone isn't. And so we're looking for the best 53, and then it's the attention to detail with everything you do. I mean, for us, it's every little thing. It matters in trying to make sure they feel like, you know, each year when they come back to start training camp, there's something different with the facility. There's something different relative to how we're approaching the season and making sure that it's not just fresh, but it's also competitive and that they feel like, hey, this has been a real good experience and the players in this locker room are similar in their goals.
We are talking to Sean Payton for a few more moments. You know, Sean, you started that answer by saying when you were coming up, something you learned. You know, culture is such a buzzword, and you laid out what you were looking for. I'm really curious, when you were coming up, how would you describe the culture in a Bill Parcells locker room?
Well, listen, it's a great question, and we're all, to some degree, products of our bloodlines, and sometimes we don't choose those, and sometimes if we're in a position to, or we have the good fortune to, we're able to do that. And so having a chance to work with Bill for 3 years, you know, it was an advanced degree. It was more than just the football on defense or offense, but there was so much more to the training room, what he was looking for from personnel standpoint, prototypes in players at certain positions, his staff, the weight room, how he handled the off season. There were certain things he valued, and that would have been different maybe the years I was with Jim Fossil in New York, or even with Ray Rhodes prior to that at the Eagles. You know, at each stop, you pull certain things, and you in your own mind, you begin to look at, hey, this is something that I think is a good idea. But ultimately, when you get that one opportunity, you know, it's there's a sense of urgency of implementing all of that, but then, man, you have to have some early success to gain that credibility.
Sean, you sound really, really good, really energized, really focused. You're in a great spot, and I would not spend a lot of time on this because it's been covered extensively, but you obviously got absolutely robbed against the Rams on that call that was not made. My question is, when it's somebody else's mistake and it goes against you and it really is out of your control and then suddenly your season's over, how did you go about processing that?
Look, I honestly, there's stages. I mean, that first week was miserable. You know, you're in such a routine relative to the season, your body clock, when you're sleeping, you know, and each weekend, pretty soon you're in week 14, 15. All of a sudden you have the one seed, you have a bye, you win a playoff game, and there it is, your game from the Super Bowl. So anytime the season ends or a good season ends and you're not in that Super Bowl, it ends with a tough playoff loss, and there's a transition period. And, of course, there was in this case. But there are those steps where, you know, here we are, I don't know how many months later, and it's not something you think about nearly as often. It'll never go away, and yet it's just not keeping you from the things you're getting ready to accomplish the next season. And to some degree, we dealt in a different manner with a loss at Minnesota in a tough way, you know, the year before. And yet, you know, you have to understand at some point you let that go. And here we go. The focus changes. And I think our players are pretty good about that as well.
I appreciate that response. Sean Payton, my guest. Listen, one last thought. As long as we talked culture in New Orleans, when the Pelicans, Sean, won the draft lottery, that means they've got a chance to draft Zion Williamson. And, you know, Sean, in some corners, there was this thought that maybe he'd rather go to New York, maybe he'd rather go to Los Angeles. But if they do take him, how much is that city going to love him, and how much is he going to love your city?
Well, let's start off with getting rid of the if. All right, let's. They're taking him. I haven't talked with anyone, but man, that's the great thing about how that lottery has changed. You know, and I know that New York's and the LA's and everyone, but those guys were sitting at 14%. You know, it wasn't like you could sit in that room saying, "Hey, we just fell victim to a crazy." The 6% beat the 14%, but in the NBA with a player like him, that's a century acquisition. And I think, man, Mrs. Benson, I know how excited Alvin was and David, their new president. It was exciting. I mean, just to, when it happened, the buzz in the city and in this building, and we share a parking lot, they're right across the parking lot from us. We see him on a daily basis. That's a special thing that happened. And when you think about back to 2012, that same thing happened when they acquired Anthony Davis. They were, you know, certainly against the odds, and they got the right draw. And, you know, over the last 15 years, we could think of maybe four clear-cut ones in the NBA draft that were separated themselves differently, maybe coming out than the rest, and I think when you get a guy like Zion, whose makeup they talk about, man, I know they're excited here in the city, and the fans are, and we are as well. I think he's going to love it here.
Sean, I think you're the only NFL head coach that I could start with a PGA question, end with an NBA question, and then cover everything else in between. It is so good to get caught up with you, Sean. I appreciate that conversation so much, and really,
absolutely,
really good to have you back, Sean. Thanks so much.
Good stuff, Jim. Thank you.
You too, Sean. Great stuff. Great stuff by you. Sean Payton, head coach of the Saints. It had been a minute or two. So good to have him back. What a great conversation that was. Head coach of the Saints since 2006, and they're coming off a 13-3 season. Obviously, it did not end the way anybody wanted it to. Anybody except for the Rams, the beneficiaries of handled that really well. And I thought the answer he handled really well, and then his response to it by saying, hey, look, it's a process now. There are stages to it. But in some ways, how we dealt with the loss to the Vikings was every bit as difficult.